We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. I'm Eric Balkman from the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour and the FFPC. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Balkman and the FFPC on Twitter at FFPC. Today I'm speaking with Rob Abbott, a four-time league winner in the Football Guys Players Championship, including a fifth-place overall regular season finish in 2017. His career winnings in the FFPC total more than $20,000. In this episode, we discuss the likelihood of an Odell Beckham bounce back, the chances that Jay Sternberger can finish as a top 10 tight end, the craziest thing he's seen in an FPC draft so far this season, and much more. Before we get into the show, I want to remind everyone that you can get a listeners-only 30% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of the RotoViz content and tools, and it supports the podcast channel. There is no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partners, betonline.ag. Sports are slowly making their way back, and BetOnline is leading the way with the best odds and lines for all UFC, NASCAR, boxing, and soccer matches. And if you need even more, they have simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC simulations all day, every day, live on their website. Looking for something else other than sports? BetOnline has hundreds of casino games, poker tournaments, and prop bets to check out. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE for a free welcome bonus. That's one word, BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Now, without further ado, here is $20,000 high-stakes fantasy football winner, Rob Abbott. Pleased to be joined this week by four-time Football Guys Players Championship League winner, Rob Abbott, joining the show. Rob, it's exciting to have you on, not just because you've won these leagues before here on the High Stakes Lowdown, but also you've been doing a lot of them so far this season, right?
Yeah, that's COVID shutdown has got me drafting more earlier than I ever have before, so seems like everybody is these days.
I can. It's true for me too. I can't remember the last time I've had this many drafts under my belt here at the end of June, early July. It's been crazy, but it's been good because I think it allows us to get a little bit more dialed in to who we like, who we don't like. ADP will change, but it's not going to be a massive change, I don't think. Has that been your experience when you've drafted early teams versus late teams? I mean, does the ADP drastically change over the summer? To me, the only time it does is if there's an injury, right?
Yeah, I mean, as camp news comes out, I mean, you'll see guys just become hot and there'll be a buzz about them and they move up. It'll be interesting to see how this year the COVID and the limited media access and, you know, limited practices in general, is if as much buzz is created as normal, just because nobody knows what to expect right now.
Let's talk about some of the football guys drafts you've done. I want to specifically ask you about certain players at certain spots. I think you did this draft about a week and a half ago, roughly. You took Odell Beckham at the 310. Now, this is a guy who has not really performed up to his draft position in recent years, but I don't necessarily think he's been a massive bust either. I mean, because he's always putting up over 1,000 yards receiving. He doesn't kill your team. You think this is the year that it's going to be different, that he will perform up to that draft position, given how far he slipped?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're getting a two-round discount on what he, he used to be a late first-round pick, early second-round pick. Now he's going late third, sometimes even the fourth, but usually in the third. And, I mean, he clearly has a ceiling that few receivers has. I mean, he's been a top three receiver multiple years. Last year, I mean, I think you can find some reason. I mean, he wasn't 100% healthy first year with the Browns. I found myself not liking any running backs in the third and fourth round. So I've been targeting receivers there, and Beckham and Galladay have just been the two guys that I've targeted the most in the third round. I just kind of prefer them over Mike Evans, Amari Cooper, Allen Robinson, those type guys. So I mean, that's just kind of how I found myself, you know, in the third round targeting Beckham and Galladay.
So then I got to ask you then, have you been basically in the majority of your drafts, first and second round, starting off running back more than perhaps you have done in some time?
I would say definitely at least trying to get one anchor running back. I mean, I have some two running back starts, but I would say the majority I'm trying to lock down one stud running back that I can count on, and then, you know, hitting receiver hard for rounds 2, 3, 4 usually is how I've been doing it.
Yeah, I mean, because it seems like and I know we've talked about this on the Lowdown as well as the HSFFO, or we've talked about just the receiver pool seems so deep this year. Like, you can get good receiver value late, and I guess my concern is we tend to look at the positives of drafting all those receivers in the mid rounds, but, you know, not all those guys are going to pan out, and it worked, because I've employed this strategy too, where I go running back, and then, you know, I start hitting on these receivers in the mid rounds. But much as I love some of those guys, Rob, they're not all going to hit.
Absolutely. I mean, you can win with any strategy. I mean, if you're picking the right guys, there's no formula that's going to guarantee success. I mean, it really, I've just kind of found myself not liking the third and fourth round running back. So I've been all receiver in those rounds or tight end. And then in the second round, I've kind of been 50-50 on whether I'm taking my second running back or, you know, starting receiver early.
Antonio Gibson was a guy that everybody was talking up in FFPC rookie drafts a couple of months ago. What are his prospects as you look at that Washington backfield and how you think they plan on using him there? What are his prospects for guys like you who are drafting Antonio Gibson later on in, you know, after the elite guys are gone and you're taking a stab at a guy like Gibson? How do you think his performance fantasy-wise is going to be this year for fantasy owners?
I mean, to be honest with you, I have no idea what to expect from Gibson. I mean, when you're talking 11th, 12th round, I mean, he seems like he offers an upside, you know, that could potentially be there. I mean, but there's no guarantee. I mean, who knows if he's going to be? It could be a complete bust. But you know, I'm not targeting Geis because the Washington offensive line. I mean, it doesn't seem as if the Washington offensive line is going to be a strength, and so Gibson, maybe he is a piece that the Redskins can use where they're not just running him in between the tackles, but he gets involved more as a you know, kind of a satellite back, and he offers some PPR potential that maybe Geis won't bring to you. And I mean, again, I go back to, I mean, when you're drafting in the 11th, 12th round, you know, it's, you know, you're just kind of taking flyers at that point. So, I mean, honestly, my answer is I just have no idea what to expect out of Gibson, and he just seems like a good guy to take a flyer on here and there.
Let me ask you this. As far as Washington running backs go, they have a zillion of them. You know, Peterson, Geis, Gibson. You have Peyton Barber. You have Bryce Love is there. Is Gibson the only guy that'll be playing in the backfield in Washington this year that you think you'll own any shares of as far as Redskins running backs? Or is there another guy there that you wouldn't mind having it on your roster where he's going?
Yeah, I don't think I'm drafting anybody besides Gibson. You know, if as of right now, you know, obviously if some things change and more news comes out, but right now I'm not targeting any of the other guys.
All right, so moving on here, and let's talk about tight end Jay Sternberger, a guy that, you know, I try not to be a Packers homer on these programs, and I'm wondering if it's clouding my judgment on Sternberger, because I've been all over him this year. I think he is going to take a big leap forward. You know, he's hurt most of his rookie season, and it just seems like he's slipping further than he should in tight end premium drafts like the Football Guys Players Championship. This draft that we're talking about, you took him at the 12:03. I want to know how likely it is, and it's probably not likely, but what the chances are of him maybe sneaking into the top 10 tight end list this year at the end of the season, Rob?
Man, I think he's got a great chance. I mean, they Packers added no receivers through the draft. They didn't bring in any free agents. They let Jimmy Graham go, so the tight end job is his for the taking. And, you know, if none of the second-year receivers that they have take a major step forward, then there's a good argument that he could be the number two pass catcher in an Aaron Rodgers-led offense. So, I mean, I think he's a great guy to be taken in the 12th round just because, you know, you're not counting on him to start week one, but if he truly does become an important piece of that offense, then he's going to be a major value for you.
Let's talk strategy here at tight ends. If you were going to take, you know, one of, like, let's just say the big four between Kelce, Kittle, Ertz, and Andrews, okay? If you're going to take one of those guys early, is it a strategy that you would employ to wait and then not take a second tight end until, like, say, the 12th round with Jay Sternberger? Would you be comfortable with Sternberger as a second tight end if you already had one of those top four guys?
I mean, I think I'm okay with it. I mean, I'm drafting lots of tight ends this year. I mean, I'm not leaving any drafts without three tight ends just because there's just so many guys that have breakout potential in the mid to late rounds that, you know, I want to have, you know, lots of options late, whether I'm taking an early stud tight end or I'm taking one of the mid round guys. I'm adding lots of tight ends on my rosters just because there's seven, eight guys that are going in between the 10th and or 9th and 10th, 12th rounds that all could have breakout potential. So I'm always targeting depth at tight end, especially obviously in the tight end premium format that FFPC is.
All right. Let's shift the conversation here, Rob, back to running back. And there's a player I want to talk about here. I hesitate to say he's a polarizing guy because I don't think anybody has super strong feelings about him. But James Conner, currently in the last 4 days of the Football Guys Players Championship drafts, James Conner currently has an ADP of 3.5 as running back 16. So, you know, sort of a high-end running back too. Does that strike you as a spot where you would be targeting him there? You know, ignoring him at that spot, or if he's available, you'll look at him in some drafts. How do you fall in on James Conner's fantasy value this year?
I mean, I kind of have a neutral opinion on Conner. I mean, I'm not avoiding him. I mean, I definitely want some exposure to him, and I've taken him on a couple teams already this year. But he's not somebody. So I'm not avoiding him, but he's not somebody I'm actually targeting and saying, oh, I want to leave this draft with Conner. So I'm not sure. I mean, I think that there's a good narrative there for why he has a potential to be a stud running back. I mean, you know, Tomlin's already made comments that he wants a three down workhorse back. We saw what he did 2 years ago, and he established that he can be a stud performer. So, I mean, I get it, but then I think there's question marks there as well. I mean, you know, he's is, can he stay healthy? Is the Steeler offense going to be what it was 2 years ago? So, I mean, the answer is, I mean, I'm not avoiding him, so I will take him in certain spots, but he's not somebody that I feel going into each draft that I'm targeting, that I want to come away with him either.
Knowing that you're not, a big, Connor believer, but you'll take him, once in a while. Do you like any of those other Steelers running backs late between McFarland, Snell, Samuels? Do any of those guys stand out to you?
Not right now. I have not found. I think I may have taken McFarland once so far, and maybe that was when he fell. Right now there's very limited information in terms of what that backfield's really going to look like. So no, I have not been targeting any of the other guys so far. And that's not to say that one of them's not going to establish himself. If you're late, I don't think there's anything wrong with taking some late flyers on some of those guys, but they're not the guys I've been necessarily targeting so far.
Evan Engram's been in the news. He obviously had the Lisfranc surgery, but we had a video of him running, which is, I guess we're just starved for any kind of news at this point. But certainly to see Evan Engram running in June, this is good given the surgery that he had in December. And I noticed that you had already selected him on more than one of your teams. What is it about Engram this year that has you calling up his name in drafts?
So I found myself taking Engram when I'm at the back end of the draft. So when it gets to me at late fifth or early sixth, where that strong receiver run has already ended, I don't like any of the running backs there. And, I've been taking receivers. So I'm in a spot where, I could take my fifth receiver, my fourth receiver, or I can take a guy like Engram who, if things break right, he has I like his ceiling as a tight end. Plus, kind of what I was mentioning earlier, I really like the depth of tight end this year. And so, I know when I take a guy like Engram, I'm going to be taking multiple tight ends to strengthen, to have depth there in case, we have another injury issue with Engram, which obviously is pretty likely.
Right.
He has a ceiling, man. He's shown that he can be an elite producer at the tight end position. I definitely like him in certain spots for sure.
So another player that was in the news this week too, or maybe last week, I guess, earlier this week, Cam Newton is now going to be on the New England Patriots this year, probably going to be the starter for the duration of 2020, as long as he stays healthy. So how does this affect your drafting of guys like N'Keal Harry, Julian Edelman, James White, some of the other pass catchers, maybe the rookie tight ends there? Is there a big difference now in how you're picking and choosing or ignoring Patriots pass catchers?
So, I kind of feel that New England's still going to play a pretty conservative. I don't see Cam Newton changing the way they want to play and just opening up their and then becoming an aggressive, wanting to play shootout type games. So I don't think that. He's definitely not changing how I view Edelman. One of the LT crew guys that I'm close with, he's always been a N'Keal Harry fan, and so he, I can see maybe him, moving him up a little bit in case Cam unlocks him. But I just don't think that Belichick. I don't see New England all of a sudden, becoming a shootout team because of Cam Newton. Now, if Sony Michel, it would have been interesting if we knew that he was 100% healthy. I could see Cam actually improving the running game and being a good thing for Michel. But Michel is just a health concern right now, and who knows if he's even going to be on the field. And obviously James White, I'm not moving him up because I think he's being drafted appropriately right now. So.
Yeah, and I think, the thing is with White, regardless, the type of player he is in the NFL and his skill set, I don't think it really fluctuates that much no matter what quarterback he's playing with, be it Patrick Mahomes or Jared Goff or, Jarrett Stidham. I feel like his role, it's pretty set, and you can make the case that his fantasy output is as well. I have seen, and I don't know if you've had the same experience so far this year in your drafts, Rob, some crazy things done, some things that I did not expect to see in Football Guys Players Championship drafts. And one of them, and I'll just bring this up, I was facilitating one of the drafts on Sunday night, and the HSFFOR mascot at Tupacker on Twitter had the 101. He didn't take McCaffrey. He didn't take Barkley. He took Miles Sanders, and I think that's probably been the biggest shock I've seen so far. Rob, what's the craziest thing you've seen, and you personally, have you done anything that was a little bit outside the box, something that you normally don't do, given all the drafts that have been going on right now?
So I would say, unfortunately, I have not found myself in any drafts where it's just been something ludicrous like Miles Sanders at 101. I've follow on Twitter. I mean, I see a lot of boards being posted on Twitter, so I have seen some crazy ones. I would say the craziest one I've seen was somebody posted one that had Lamar Jackson and Mahomes going to on the turn at 1-2 by Team 12, which just made no sense. I mean, that's just seems like you're burning $350 right there doing that. So I haven't really had anything crazy in my individual drafts, but, you know, following everything on Twitter, I've definitely seen some crazy ones that people have posted. And myself, I don't think that I've done anything that would qualify as too crazy. I think I've been pretty standard on most of my drafts.
So this is something that we'll deal with. I guess this is more of an in-season type question on how you manage your roster, but I'm sure some people are looking at it from the standpoint now of, okay, well, if somebody tests positive for COVID-19 and I only have one player at that spot, do I need to build up some depth here at some of my positions? Now, you probably won't have to deal with it with your tight ends, given that you've been getting basically three of them in every draft. But I'm more concerned, like, do you plan on banking an extra spot for an extra kicker or an extra quarterback throughout the season? Or is it sort of business as usual? You're going to draft, you know, explosive teams and make sure that you have ample reserves and ample lottery tickets at running back and receiver just in case the guy ahead of them goes down.
So as of right now, I mean, I have not been drafting any differently because of COVID concerns. I've just kind of used the same strategies I've always used and drafted the same as always. I will say that I think the biggest impact is going to be just in-season management and roster management during the season. I mean, I've been drafting just one quarterback on most of my teams, but I will definitely be using that preseason waiver run before the season starts to make sure that I have two quarterbacks on every roster. I mean, right now I didn't want to use a roster spot for a second quarterback. We've been kind of taking flyers at other positions, but we'll use that preseason waiver run to make sure that I have a second quarterback on every team, just in case there is somebody that has to miss a game after, you know, on a weekend where and to avoid not having a backup quarterback to start. But I don't think that I'm doing anything differently now. You know, I think it's just going to be, you know, you're really going to have to be managing your team closely, making sure you have no dead roster spots, that every roster spot is somebody that you can count on or you can start if needed, because I mean, who knows what this season is going to look like?
The quarterback aspect of it that you were just referring to, is that something that you normally would employ anyway, even if we weren't dealing with this outbreak, this pandemic right now, just for some random, you know, a quarterback has food poisoning or the flu or something? Is that something you would normally do anyway?
In the past, I have. I mean, I guess it depends. I mean, any team that I was taking one of the top five quarterbacks on, I would not have a second quarterback. You know, like if I waited and wasn't taking my first quarterback till later, then those teams, sometimes I'll have two quarterbacks just to be able to play matchups on. But definitely will make sure that even on my teams that have a Patrick Mahomes or and Dak Prescott, that I'm going to have, you know, a second quarterback to make sure I don't take a zero any week.
Rob, you've as we alluded to earlier, you've already done a lot of football guys drafts. You have more scheduled later on, shortly before the season starts as well. What do you expect the biggest difference to be between the ones you've done already and, you know, May and June, and then the ones you're going to be doing in August and September, as far as what to expect, as far as the biggest drastic changes, if any, between those two opposite ends of the spectrum?
I mean, I would just say, more information. You know, I'll probably just have stronger opinions about certain guys. I mean, and so I'll be more aggressive in how I draft when we're closer to the season to really have guys that I'm targeting and not be too concerned about whether or not I'm getting value relative to ADP. You know, I'll have guys that I have strong personal convictions for, and, you know, won't worry about, maybe I can get him, when he comes around to the next pit. You know, like I'll have guys that I'm aggressively targeting, and, you know, so I would say that's the biggest difference. I mean, I don't have different strategies in terms of how I draft, in June versus how I draft in August, September.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So last question, and you've been very gracious with your time. I certainly appreciate it. Last question for you today. You've obviously know who you like in the early rounds. More importantly, you know who you don't like, guys that you've been staying away from. I just curious if you can give us one of those guys, and then conversely, a player that you've been trying to scoop up and target in the mid to late rounds of your Football Guys Players Championship drafts.
So I guess a couple early guys. I mean, I don't know how early, man. So third round guys that sure. I've not been taking, and probably won't have any on my team are Fournette and DJ Moore. Fournette, I'm just staying away from this year. I mean, they tried to trade him in the off season. I don't think he'll ever catch as many passes as he did last year, and I think Jacksonville could be a mess. So Fournette's just a guy that I'm not going to be drafting. DJ Moore is the guy I like as a football player. I think there's some questions about him that move him down behind other guys. And for me personally, there's just a lot of guys in the third and fourth round that I prefer over him. And so I don't think that I'll find myself in a position to where I'll be taking much DJ Moore, just because, I would value him more as a late fourth round guy, and he's just never falling there. They have a new coaching staff. That Carolina attempted the second most passes in the league last year. I don't think that they want to play that way again. They're going to run way more three receiver sets. This year, he was on the field in just two receiver sets a lot last year. And then, he's just never been a touchdown guy. He's caught six touchdowns the last 2 years combined. I don't dislike him. I mean, I think he's got a good floor, but there are just a lot of guys in that third and fourth round that I view as having higher ceilings that I would prefer.
I like it. Okay. And then we talked about Gibson earlier and how you'd been drafting him. What about, do you have any other sleepers that you're willing to give away on the show today?
I mean, one guy that's basically free at the very end of drafts or 17th, 18th round that I've liked targeting is Randall Cobb. A couple of reasons. I mean, one, with the new rule in the Football Guys tournament this year, where you can edit your lineup after that opening Thursday night game, the Texans and Chiefs play on that Thursday game. So, you're basically, you get a free square there to see if he does anything in that week one. And then also, I mean, we don't really know what this Texans offense is going to look like with DeAndre Hopkins gone. And, they've got Cooks and Fuller, who are speed guys that can stretch the field. A lot of Hopkins' catches last year were near the line of scrimmage, and Cobb is going to be that guy working the middle of the field. And so if defenses and safeties have to play back on Fuller and Cooks, I could see Cobb being a high reception guy. I mean, no guarantee, but I mean, he's going in the 17th, 18th round. So I mean, to me, he's a good flyer to take then.
Yeah, for sure. I'm with you on that. I was kind of on the fence with him. I know I drafted him in a couple of spots already, But that what you're saying makes a lot of sense, too, as far as how the Texans operated their offense last year and now the personnel they're going to have in the same attack this year. People will know how to attack their drafts now that we have talked to Rob Abbott this weekend, or this week, I should say, on the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown. Rob, thanks so much for coming on. Congrats on all your previous success in this competition. Good luck in all your drafts this year, and we'll talk again soon, man.
Hey, I appreciate it. You have a good one.
All right.
Thank you for listening to the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. And thanks to Grapes for our theme music. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the RotoViz Radio feed. It helps us find new listeners. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think. And follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the show by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.